Radio Krishna 101. So, yeah. How does this Srimad Bhagavatam, how does this knowledge that we're now looking at in the form of this book help us? How can it benefit us? This is what I've been talking about here recently. And I mean, we're talking, we find that word as self-realization. That you should realize yourself. And others now start talking about self-actuation or whatever that means. And, you know, what does it mean, really? Well, when I joined the temple back in 78, ISKCON temple, new Radha Kund moved in there. And two friends with me from my gang. We were beginners, all of us. So we, and when you're beginners, you tend to become a little fanatic, okay? So we got this, had this idea, you know, when we learned about this self-realization and second birth, you know, and all of that, that now when we used to talk like that, and now when we joined here and we got initiated and we started a completely new life here, because that's also how it felt, because you really broke with everything and everyone, or they broke, you know, friends and other relatives in some cases from you, thinking you were completely nuts. So it was a dramatic thing. And so it's kind of not strange that we took that second birth. Christians also have this, right? The rebirth, you know, born again and all that. We took it rather hardcore, you could say. And it was, you know, in some cases, for me it wasn't like that. But for some it was, that you just, you know, like you're finding cults often. Whatever, you know, Christian, this or that cult, this little sect that, you know, this is your family now. These parents and your sister and, you know, that was the old you. They are not your family anymore. So you should just ignore them. They don't exist in your life. I mean, that kind of... why I say that this is often they're in cults, sex, it is that they often get into that thing of isolating themselves. And this is, of course, very handy for sect leaders, cult leaders, to make everyone around you your family, and you don't have any competitors, no other parents or whatever. The next step is that you make, you know, if you're a male, all the women in your family, your wives. I mean, it's almost comical how that pattern seems to repeat in these kind of cults. So ISKCON got a little bit of it, not that much, but to that extent that, yeah, but here in Sweden, it wasn't like that so much. I mean, I never thought about like that with my parents or family. We regularly visited and cooked veggie food for them and so on. But anyway, I spoke to an old friend of mine who joined about the same time as I did. And especially, you know, when your friends who join like that, you notice how different your relationship becomes. You are not even supposed to be friends anymore because that is mundane friendship. Yeah, we were told that, such things. So one such old friend I spoke to on the phone one day, just a few years ago, and I was kind of getting fed up with this, that now we are acting in roles, these new roles with new names, and it's as if what happened before we got that new name, that initiation, that doesn't exist anymore. So I wanted to be able to talk to him the way we talk, you know, the way friends talk, and not to some whatever figure, which sometimes we become, you know, we just try to live up to a certain role, become a character in a story here. So I just exclaimed that, you know, I want to talk to, and I used his ordinary name, Carmen name, as we call them. And he said, no, that he doesn't exist anymore. And I was just laughing because it sounded, and he also realized it sounded pretty ridiculous. Well, you know, today I'm sitting here and my walls here, are adorned with my own paintings that I made when I was 20 or something. I just decided to put them here because they are memories to me. And I know other devotees come here and they kind of look at it, look at those paintings silently, saying, why don't you have pictures of Krishna here, the bona fide apartment of a devotee? Yeah, yeah, you know, but that's just me. But the thing is, there is a purpose to it. Because, you know, here I am called Priyavrata. Before that name appeared, I was simply called Pair. And many people still call me Pair. So what's going on? Do I have two identities here that I have to balance and switch between depending on circumstances? Can get a little can feel a little strange sometimes. In other words, there is still that pair who was here before and before I came to the Krishna temple, and I just uploaded some little video from old films that were taken when I was like 1 or 2 years old, running around on the square in my town and going visiting my grandparents. And I was just looking at this, some Facebook group, local for those that village and that town where we used to live. People like that, such historical documents. And looking at this, and you know, and I'm just sitting here saying to myself and saying to you, Per, that's me, you know, I'm I still exist, okay, here I am talking to you. But you know, Per became a devotee of God, and that's what he is now, and he also has that name, Priyavrata. So in other words, I mean, it may sound ridiculous to you youngsters, but the old timers may understand what I mean, what makes it a little special, that insight, which I like to call it, that Per still exists, and Per is a devotee, and he's not an ex-me, ex-my identity that doesn't exist anymore. Of course, no one sees it like that anymore, I hope so. Hope not. That there are two persons there, one which is a karma still. But, you know, he's ran around on the square, and he did this and he did that through his life, and stupid things and good things, and here we are. And I think that we should all, I think that we should all, as part of self-realization, integrate ourselves, so to speak, not develop different selves or different personas that some of them we kind of deride or pretend don't exist, or even, you know, condemn. because we're talking self-realization, and I am, and you are, eternal spirit soul, right? Which means I didn't all of a sudden appear out of nowhere when I joined ISKCON. Again, I hope no one thinks like that, but I'm just... making a point here. But you know, we should be friends with ourselves and accept ourselves the way we are. Yes, I took birth here, over there, you know, in that hospital, whatever, to those parents. My parents, you know, very nice people. And gosh, what they sacrificed for me and my sister. I mean, just the way... we did with our children. So, you know, an appreciation of life, you could say, and those who live, and especially those who have done good things for you. But also, here you are, you know, you're I suppose you who listen to this is some kind of Vaishnava or spiritually inclined person who wants to live in the right way, in a good way, and, you know, don't eat, kill animals and eat, and be kind to others, and don't be selfish and greedy and lusty and all that, but live in love. And that's good. And the fact that you and I, and, you know, all of us, we have come to that realization, come that far in life, should at least make us okay. And that person, that guy in this case who was running around doing stupid things in his teenage, and yes, most of us do, not so much actually, but you know, fooling around and exploring the world, basically what we did. Yeah, sure, a little sex, drugs and rock and roll there. it was the 70s after all. But you know, all, when I sum up my life now and look at it all the way back, I can see that there was always this searching going on there for the real thing. You know, when teenage boy there and the girls around, and I was looking for the real thing, you know, real love, real good relationships. And you know that we humans, you can remember when I was 15, I got alarmed by this environmental destruction that was going on. And I remember our biology teacher told us that, you know, if we go on like this, we will destroy the planet in some years. And I mean, that was like, almost 55 years ago she said that. So I'm amazed that we didn't destroy it more than we did. There's still hope if we and I mean, good things have happened, and so so yeah, I mean, we should make peace with ourselves. There's, you know, this, I think I did it here. Yeah, I did. I can put a link to the episode. This little, and deep meditation, you could say, this inner, or deep, but this guided meditation, this inner exploration there, meeting your young self. And I know when I do that, there's a young guy there, 15 or something, and he's just about to step out into the world. I'm talking to him, and he likes that his older, wiser self on the other side of life talks to him and gives him some good advice and listens to him. You know, this is actually a kind of therapy session we do in hypnotherapy. You go deep, you know, a little bit in trance there, a little bit down in self-hypnosis, and or just, you know, relax a bit and close the eyes and be in there. And then just imagine your young self and that you're meeting. And it's fascinating because it's easier than you might believe to imagine, and especially where you're a bit, you know, in transition state, it can become quite vivid and therapeutic, very good, healthy, integrating oneself, the young self with the present self, and so that you can see also your whole life, and this is what I'm talking about here at least, as a whole. I mean, we're healing, right? So that we have to heal our own life. And yes, did this stupid thing there, but have I begged forgiveness from those I did it to? Are we okay now? Or are there still unresolved things there? Because generally those who make you feel bad about yourself or something. You know, it's the past. The past is the past, and you know we're both, all of us now forgetting it, and that's fine. So we are forgiven. You are forgiven, and that's what we should go for. And I mean, I went through that, and still. But kind of calmed down, it seems. Where I really had to go deep inside in memory lane, and that person and that person and how did I treat him and her and girlfriend there and some other one there, you know. And I contacted them and kind of, you know, are we okay now? And this is also a good thing to do. And as I often say, if there's anyone hearing this that I have hurt or that we have something unresolved, then just drop me a note. I mean, I just say, I'm sorry. I was just immature. Whatever you did to me back then, forget about it. We were just kids. So these things are, I think they're important to do in life. Not that just, oh, I forget about all that. That's just mundane stuff. So, why are you talking about such things now? We should talk about Krishna and be transcendental to all of that. But it's, you know, Krishna and Krishna consciousness, it's about relationships. Not just between me and God, but between me and all the, and God, including all this race. Of God, which we are. So, Bhakti Yoga, the rasas and the different realms, you know, we want to go to Krishna Loka, don't we? But you know, those who live there are very good friends and very loving and very kind. And so if we want to be allowed in through that gate, then we have to see that, especially relationships to other devotees of God, but to everyone. Sudhida Sarva Bhutanam, you know, a real devotee, is a friend of everyone, sees everyone as part of God. As a devotee of God, but some have forgotten, and that's why we are here. I mean, especially the followers of the Gaudiya mission. Which is a Bhagavat Sampradaya of giving these fruits of the love of Godhead, the bhakti fruits, out to everyone, helping Lord Chaitanya to distribute them. This is our story world that we build upon. So yeah. Thanks for now, Hare Krishna.